Okay, now I'm also recording.
All right.
Haha, you started recording before me. Now you're going to be part of the stinger.
What?
That doesn't mean anything.
Wait, can't be part of the stinger or can?
No, you will be the part of the stinger.
Why?
Because you started recording before me.
Okay.
Yeah, there's...
What is the stinger exactly?
The thing you put at the end of a podcast that is like... The thing you put at the very end that's like extra dialogue that's, I don't know, humorous in some way. This isn't really that humorous, so I probably will just cut this audio out entirely. Unless I do something really hilarious like squeak a rubber clown nose. Yeah.
Oh no, the clowns! Quick, switch to ninjas! Switch to ninjas! Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
I'm going to make a podcast that is just a continuous loop of you going, doing the Ninja Gaiden next act music.
I love that music. It kind of, I kind of found it a little bit jarring when they switched the pitch for 3.
I don't mind it. I actually think the new pitch sounds better.
But then, like, that scarf looks like it's a really wavy dagger. It just keeps, like, it's a rubber dagger.
Yeah, but you never notice when Cloud levels up in Final Fantasy Tactics. So.
That only happened 3 times.
That happened, like, every time.
What, is Cloud just that unimportant? We didn't have him for all that long, considering how long we played that game.
Well, yeah, that's true. But a good hour was us trying to train him, because his special attacks were... They weren't that great, but they were cool to look at.
And it was Cloud! And everybody loves Cloud!
So, considering that we just talked about Ninja Gaiden as though it was new, and now we're talking about Final Fantasy Tactics, can I assume that this is a podcast from 1997?
Well, I would say that, except that I have new Beta Audacity, which says that I have 27 hours and 44 minutes left to record.
Since the other recording that was sort of faulty, I have gone down by a whole 3 minutes.
Yeah.
4 minutes. We're running out of time. We're running out of time for this podcast. We've only got 146 hours before my disk space runs out.
Dun-dun.
And then I'll get another hard disk read error. That was horrifying.
Ugh.
There is so much data on this computer. Actually, there's really not that much data. There's probably, like, I don't know, there's not even, like, any AVIs on this. I really just need the internet. All of my stuff is on the internet in transients where it can be stolen.
Yep.
Anyway, let's talk about Ace Attorney.
Sounds good.
Specifically
Objection!
At least that time you sounded, like, not Edgeworth.
I'm gonna wag my finger at you like Sonic.
But then you could be Edgeworth. When we played Trials and Tribulations and we got to Case 4, you freaked out so much at the Edgeworth Von Karma finger wangle.
That was creepy.
Why is it
I mean, like, because it's Von Karma's thing, and Edgeworth, you reversed your character development. I know it's the past, but shut up.
That's how time travel works.
But you're supposed to keep your character development when you play through the game. Right?
I guess we never really see Phoenix when he's all that childish, other than that pointing 1-3 where he goes, oh yeah, Sherlock Holmes, number 2, right here, baby, and then does hip thrust throughout the courtroom before he ejects because his eyes are burning.
What?
That didn't happen, but I kind of wish that it had because it would have been funny.
Mental image!
A Phoenix Wright hip-thrusting throughout the courtroom?
Objection! Slam.
Bam! I think Winston Payne could have benefited from having a desk slam move.
Well, maybe he was just counting on his hair getting him through the trial. Oh, wait.
We are jumping around a lot, and yep. I want to talk about Trials and Tribulations because I like Trials and Tribulations the
Me
most.
Too.
But we should probably start at the beginning with the first one. Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney. We forgot the subtitle.
Yep.
Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney, which we're going to talk about the Phoenix Wright trilogy of the Ace Attorney series because you have not played through Apollo Justice yet, and right. I wanted to use this podcast as a way of both bringing you into Apollo Justice and also sort of transitioning from video games to anime for you as that co-host.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
All right.
Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney is a fan fiction about what would happen if Shu Takami were to become a lawyer and what he wishes it would be like.
Hmm.
And then he and Sherlock Holmes become best friends and went on crazy adventures.
And Sherlock Holmes has to eat nothing but ramen forever.
Sherlock Holmes Gumshoe.
Yes, Gumshoe! Gumshoe's adorable.
Gumshoe is the best character that is not an attorney in any fashion.
And it's because he's so lovably incompetent. Like, it's his bad detective work that gets all these innocent people stuck in places. Well, you know, aside from all the blatant framing of crimes that happens in every single case.
Yeah, that was one of the things, despite the fact that I like Trials and Tribulations the most, the crimes that take place in Trials and Tribulations are the most absurd nonsense.
Did you do it?
Yes.
There's a point where, like, the prosecutor goes just like, you did it, didn't you? And then the defendant's like, yes. Wait, no! Because,
I do want to sort of talk about the first game, but there's not a whole lot of meat on the first game. The first trial is sort of whatever. Although, playing through game one and interacting with Larry after having played through game three, he is so different.
It's hilarious. Like, in Turnabout Samurai, if you pick the dog as your little assistant and you go to Larry, the dog will just, like, eat all of Larry's hot dogs and leave him completely in ruin.
Well, that's what... The dog is clearly a huge fan of the Steel Samurai.
Yes. By shredding into pieces.
That's what he was, that was what he was raised on. Samurai dogs and the Pink Princess. Can I just say that the Pink Princess's breasts look like they could feed a small nation?
Wait, it had breasts?
You didn't notice?
No. I was busy thinking about the fact that Will Powers plays Pink Princess.
That disturbs me more so after what I realized. If you look at the poster for the Pink Princess, she has decidedly large thingies, as someone once said to me, to describe them. The worst thing is that at some point, I think Wendy Oldbag ends up playing her. It's hilarious.
What?
Yeah.
I'm
just gonna let that shock settle in for you.
No, I'm gonna, like, change the subject back to Wendy Oldbag. Alright, kind of an interesting
character. But the subject
character.
Already was Wendy.
Well, I'm gonna change it, kind of, to something less disturbing. So, you know, in the first game, Oldbag's just, like, this Edgeworth fangirl who's also an old lady police security person. And, you know, she always blames certain people for things, you know, whoever she wants to be found guilty or whatever. But then later on, like, she's in a space costume in the second game, and she has this little ray gun. And then when it's the ray gun's turn to say something, like, instead of saying Oldbag's name, it says ray gun. And it says, rat-a-tat, rat-a-tat, rat-a-tat.
As it plays the little sound while the colors flash. That would be hilarious at some point if, like, she was the murderer because somebody replaced her little toy ray gun with an actual ray gun and she didn't notice until she shot somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That would be horrible. That would be really horrifying, actually.
And then she frames somebody for it because that's how every accident or intentional death works.
Well, that's because Phoenix Wright is what would happen if Perry Mason did the fusion dance with Detective Conan and it happened in court. Because
yes.
The police, no matter what happens, never arrest the right person for a crime, except that one time.
Yep.
That one time was a fluke, though.
Yep. What do you mean Gumshoe did his job right?
Well, Gumshoe did his job right. Did his job right because Adrian screwed around with the evidence.
Yep. It took a counterframe to make it work.
That was real. Well, that was the thing. Nobody framed anybody for that. I don't think Shelley DeKiller would have been like, was there anybody you'd like me to frame for this murder? And Matt Ongard would have been like, yes, I think I would like you to frame Juan Corita, but I'm going to murder Juan Corita. Make it look like a suicide. I'm going to choke him to death. This is Japan. We think everything is a suicide.
Yes. This is Japan. Suicide is encouraged.
All you have to do is make the press think that Juan Corita was studying for his exams and he had failed them.
Aww.
They'll instantly believe the suicide problem.
And especially Gumshoe.
Well, yeah. To be fair, Gumshoe's investigative skills aren't that bad. They're just sort of... they're just pale in comparison to Phoenix and Edgeworth's.
Yeah, it's like Phoenix demands Gumshoe's coat so that he can be the detective.
That would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. That would be... Phoenix is already basically a detective, as it were. Maybe he could get, like, a magnifying glass and Gumshoe's coat and a deerstalker cap. And Maya could wander around being bumbling and wondering what clues are while complaining about the fact that she hasn't eaten hamburgers in a few days.
Yes. Hamburgers. Oh, yeah. Ace Attorney is really localized. Like, you can kind of tell, especially if you're familiar with Japanese culture, where they made dub changes. But it's done really well.
You do not have to be familiarized with Japanese culture to tell where the localization has happened. I hate to say it, but I don't think Los Angeles has that many Shinto-esque shrines laying around in their mountain ranges.
Well, at least you know that they have earthquakes there. At least I got that right.
I guess. Yeah, that would have been pretty bad. Ace Attorney takes place in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. There are not earthquakes here. They had to change it so that Edgeworth is afraid of tornadoes. And all the tornadoes are invisible. That's why he would be so afraid of them. Could you imagine living in a world with invisible tornadoes?
Like invisible dinosaurs?
Invisible dinosaurs would be significantly worse. But this is not a podcast about Tekken.
Mm-mm. Especially not the secret boss Invisible Dinosaur.
That would be the worst final boss ever.
It'd be horrible for a fighting game. I think you said at some point that they're considering putting Phoenix and Francesca von Karma into a versus Capcom game?
I just got completely distracted because we were talking about Invisible Dinosaurs, and I realized that there is a game where that is possible.
What game?
Final Fantasy VI.
Oh, snap!
We need to play that game again and get to a point where there are dinosaurs and make invisible dinosaurs and take a picture of it. Even
and
though
then
that
send
doesn't
them
make
to the
any
X zone.
Sense because the dinosaurs wouldn't be there in the picture.
And then we should send them to the X zone where they can live with all the other dinosaurs.
That we send there after we turn them invisible. But they wouldn't know there were any other dinosaurs there.
Maybe
every dinosaur is extremely lonely because they don't think there are any other dinosaurs. And their friend... Jeff McStegosaurus is standing right next to him.
Yes.
Like, Billy McT-Rex, I'm right there with you.
But, like, maybe it's like the character sprites in Six, where if they're invisible, you at least see an outline?
I guess, but that wasn't how monster sprites worked in Final Fantasy VI. They were totally different. And that's one of the other things. All of the dinosaurs also, they hear the voices of their comrades because they're invisible. They're not soundproof or however you want to describe that. But they don't see them, so all of the dinosaurs think they're going crazy. And they just think it's the remnants of memories of their life in Dinosaur Island. I don't think there was a dinosaur island in Final Fantasy VI, but I want to...
Oh, there kind of was.
There was a dinosaur forest, which makes significantly less sense than Dinosaur Island.
Well, there's a Triangle Island, but that's
yeah, but that had giant anuses.
Hmm?
But that Triangle Island was the place with giant anuses.
Yep.
Tell her no. This is a reference that nobody... I don't even know if that's a reference anyone else will get. That's such an old Newgrounds cartoon.
Yeah. Link's Quest for Ass.
That was a horrible cartoon.
It was hilarious. It was horrible.
It was hilarious, and I think that might be because when we saw it, we were teenagers.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Giants. So, back to Capcom. Back to Ace Attorney.
Objection. I was having fun talking about Final Fantasy VI.
Objection overruled. I'm not sure how I feel about invisible dinosaurs.
That's a... I'm not sure how I feel about car thieves. I'm not sure how I feel about invisible dinosaurs. I'm going to go off and be Canadian.
I'm not sure how I feel about double doubles. Eh?
I wonder... I don't know. Canadian judge. He was sort of weird. I kind of wish that in order to drive that home, they had replaced his vestments with a Detroit Red Wings jersey. That would have been hilarious. I would have loved that.
I'm not sure how I feel about that judge and the non-Canadian judge being brothers. I'm not sure how I feel about all these sibling sets in Ace Attorney and how they're always part of some bigger plot development. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
I don't really think the judge and the Canadian judge being related has anything on the plot.
But then maybe they might dye their beards and switch places.
And it's like Freaky Friday?
No, it's like, what was the last case in Trials and Tribulations? What was it called?
Bridge to the Turnabout.
Bridge to the Turnabout. Yeah, if you haven't played the game, that's a pretty big spoiler, but...
No, it's not. Unless you've played the game, the title does not give anything about it away.
Well, but like the switching places thing. Change places!
Okay, let's just go ahead. I'm going to maybe clip this out and put it at the front. Maybe I'll put it at the back just to be mean, but there will be Ace Attorney spoilers in our Ace Attorney podcast.
And we've retroactively decided that.
What?
We've retroactively decided that through computer time travel.
Well, I don't think it's too big of a... I don't think it's too big logical leap to make to say, hey, this is a podcast about a video game. It might spoil things about the video game. Suffice it to say, if you have any sort of passing interest in the Ace Attorney series and you don't want spoilers, you should probably go ahead and play all of the game, all of the Phoenix games first and then listen to this podcast.
That's right.
So, it's been about 16 minutes. Maybe we should actually talk about the first game in order.
Alright. So
the first case is a warm-up case. Mm-hmm. You basically learn how to play the game, and the prosecutor is a wimpy little... The prosecutor,
In any of these games, in any of the Ace Attorney series, what you're essentially doing is looking for contradictions between what is given as fact and what is actually true.
Sometimes it's exceedingly obvious because they will blatantly say, this is X, and the evidence related to this will always say, this is Y.
Yep. And, let's see. What else?
That's really it. That's all that happens.
Oh, yeah.
The only other thing that happens is that there are investigation phases that are exceedingly boring because... Because
you don't like adventure games.
It isn't even because I don't like adventure games, but because the exciting part of Ace Attorney is always when you're in court yelling objection back and forth, and in the investigation phase, that doesn't happen often enough.
Hmm.
Indeed, it doesn't happen at all.
But anyway, in case you don't know, in the Ace Attorney universe, court is pretty much comprised of the prosecution's witnesses being cross-examined by the defense.
The reason for this is because it is supposed to be a mirror of the Japanese judicial system instead of the American judicial system.
Hmm. Is that really how it works in Japan?
No. Well, sort of. The Japanese judicial system works by means of an inquisitive system where two attorneys, one prosecution, one defense, debate over whether or not somebody is guilty, and the prosecution always wins.
Hmm.
Well, not always, but the Japanese judicial system for criminals has a greater than 99% conviction rate.
It's a broken system, and there's not even a jury. Or they're just now introducing a jury.
There is now. There was a law stipulated, I don't even remember how long ago this was, that jury trials would have to be reintroduced into the Japanese system in 2009, which is why you already know this, but there is a jury system introduced at the end of Apollo Justice. That's the reason.
That's not until the end of Apollo Justice?
No, it's not until the very last case.
Hmm.
Yeah. The way that it works is completely pointless, because court functions exactly the same way.
Hmm.
But you'll see that all when we get to it. The first Ace Attorney game is is pretty good as far as adventure games go. I really do wish that there was a lot less investigation and a lot more court, and that is something that I believe for the entirety of the series.
Court's pretty exciting. Pretty intense.
Well, that's what's so fun about it. In court, you get to scream a whole lot and occasionally hit people in the face with a cup of coffee, leaving goofy cartoon eyes.
Or you can just, you know, whip them and call it a reward. You can even whip the judge and not be found in contempt of court. You know, if you're the prosecutor.
There's a point in Ace Attorney Investigations where Francisca whips Gumshoe and she's just like, I was just saying hi.
This is why the defense has no objection to the whip.
Well, he's so used to it. Gumshoe, Edgeworth grew up with Francisca, and she whipped him all the time.
I wonder what would happen
whipped him all
she
the time,
tried to whip
made fun of him. Ha ha, you miss your dead father, and you're afraid of earthquakes.
Aww.
Fool. Being afraid of earthquakes.
Don't
it's
feel
just like riding on the washing machine. I don't know if Francisca ever rode on a washing machine when she was a child.
I could see it. And then she'd, like, whip the washing machine until it moved?
That would be silly.
What? She could do it. She's Von Karma.
Yeah, that is sort of her thing. I never really liked Francisca. Like, as far as prosecutors go, it's all Godo. Well, okay,
awesome.
To be fair, it's all Edgeworth, but Godo was... Edgeworth wasn't really a prosecutor in the scope of Trials and Tribulations, so it was all Godo.
Yeah. Do, 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 do. I mean, you know, he's a bit of a philosophizer, but...
That was sort of the thing that
cool.
I liked about him. Like, his philosophy was not off, but it was always presented in a profoundly dumb way.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, he's that kind of character that I really like.
That's just one of your rules?
Yeah, that's just one of my rules.
People have really catchy catchphrases in the series, too. I mean, Godo always has, you know, this is one of my rules. And then he always has to go into some spiel that doesn't make any sense. And the judge is like, alright, that doesn't make any sense, but okay, let's go. And then,
well, that's because the judge is an idiot.
The judge is a moron, and so are most of the defendants.
So is everybody in the whole game.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to say everybody in the whole game except for the defense attorneys, but Phoenix is an idiot.
Yeah.
Everyone's kind of an idiot.
Yep.
Only
idiots may pass.
Yeah, only idiots may pass the bar exam.
Yes.
Except for Edgeworth. Edgeworth is actually kind of intelligent.
Alright, so, in the first case... See, you're trying to... You just skip straight into court, which is kind of nice. Like,
it's the best... That was always the best thing about the first cases in every game, was that there wasn't any investigation phase.
Mm-hmm.
Even though every game has a case that gets on my nerves. In the first game, it was Turnabout Samurai. In the second game, it was Turnabout... I hired an assassin to kill my rival actor. And in game... 3, it was probably Turnabout, oh my god, my defense client murdered himself on the stand because he's a lolicon.
Aww.
Terry Falls does not kill himself because he was seduced by a 14-year-old girl. He kills himself because he lost faith in that 14-year-old girl he was seduced by.
And yet, somehow Phoenix ate the necklace that had the poison in it, or some trace of poison, I guess, and lived. Because he's Phoenix.
Well, that's because that's Phoenix's thing, his ridiculous, absurd luck.
I mean, in the first game alone, he pretty much gets around getting tried for the murder of his mentor, Mia. And then, what else happens to him in the first game? Oh, he almost gets killed by Red Wyatt. And,
he doesn't have almost killed by Red Wyatt.
Well,
that's
okay, he
happens.
Gets, like, intimidated by Red Wyatt and, like... They're about to have some kind of showdown. And also, like, he almost gets killed by mobsters in Turnabout Samurai.
Yeah, Gumshoe saves him, which is really the thing that Gumshoe does.
Yep.
He is there to save Phoenix from mobsters, or the rough equivalent of mobsters.
Stand back, pal. I have ramen powers.
Oh, the concept of ramen powers. He actually just brings in a cup of instant ramen and throws it at some guy.
And he's like, there goes half of my paycheck. Hope you're happy.
No, that's what it is. It's not even boiling. It's just cold ramen. The guy just has it slosh onto his suit, and it makes him mad. He pulls out a gun. But he doesn't get mad at Gumshoe, he shoots the ramen.
He gets little cartoon eyes under the ramen.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
So, like, that's what happens in Phoenix in the first game. Let's see. Second game, what happens?
Well, that's not counting Rise from the Ashes.
Oh, you're
right.
Rise
from the Ashes is sort of a contested part of the timeline, because it wasn't a part of the original stuff, even though it is canon.
Yeah, it was kind of retrofitted in along with Apollo Justice.
Well,
like, it has
that
same caliber
of
investigation type stuff, where you use the DS to control 3D objects, you blow into the microphone, stuff like that.
Which is something that was used as the engine for Apollo Justice, along with the graphical update. It's the problem with it was is that in Rise from the Ashes, a lot of the evidence had some other something or other to it. In Apollo Justice, only like 2 to 3 evidence pieces per case have a reason for you to look at them from another side or angle.
Yeah.
It's really irritating because you're looking furiously at your attorney's badge and you're yelling at it, "Why won't you give me any answers?" And then you realize that in order for the attorney's badge to give you answers, you must be the murderer, and that's how you get the bad ending.
Another thing about that attorney's badge, why is it screw on in the back?
It's the same way, I think, with the prosecutor's badge, is that it's not a pin to your lapel, it's actually a bolt, which means that all attorneys are robots.
Yes, and in order to pass the bar, you have to have a little space where you can screw it in.
Yeah, they actually, like, drill a hole through your chest. Yep. Maybe that's the worst part, maybe you're not a robot, but they still drill a hole through your chest.
Yep.
That's what all the horrible screaming is.
Yes.
That's probably... That must have been, like, the worst for, I don't even know. I can't imagine that being good for anybody.
Yeah. So what kind of bad things happened to Phoenix in Justice for All, second game?
Nothing really. Actually, things go pretty well for Phoenix in that game.
Yeah,
he doesn't
fall
into a river. He doesn't get hit by a car. He doesn't get almost murdered twice.
Is that whole hit by a car thing in Apollo Justice?
Yeah, it is.
So I'll come up
You'll
later.
See it because it's the second case, but it's another Phoenix comes close to death thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in order the bad things that happened to Phoenix in Ace Attorney 1 is that he is tried for a murder he didn't commit. He is almost killed by mobsters. He is almost electrocuted to death by his prosecuting rival in that case. I'm almost certain that Damon Gant would have murdered him if he had gotten the chance. Probably with his penis.
He almost, like, cornered him.
I don't understand what that is. Somebody on the internet needs to explain to me, why is Damon Gant considered, like, a memetic molester? Why is it a meme that Damon Gant can and will rape anything? I mean, I was thinking about that myself during the case. I'm almost certain that... Hey, baby, I'm protecting your sister from being implicated in a murder of a person that it's not reasonable that she would have been able to murder in that fashion. Wanna do it? And Lana's like, no, I don't wanna do it. You're mean. And he's like, but I could reveal everything about your sister. And she's like, okay.
And I have orange skin.
He doesn't have orange skin. He just has a really big tan and an orange suit. I have to admit, I think if I thought I could get away with wearing a big orange suit, I probably would.
Yeah.
And also being Zeus. I love his stunned. Stunned and shocked pose where he gets hit by the bolts of lightning.
Yep.
Out of all of the people who have a stunned and shocked pose, I think that is the most ridiculous one.
Well, I mean, he's kind of a ridiculous person.
Other than Adrian's. Adrian has the best shock pose.
So then shall we move on to Trials and Tribulations for Bad Things Happens to Phoenix? Oh, one thing. In Justice for All, it's introduced the idea of the Magatama. Alright.
This was the best thing that happened to the investigative phase.
Yeah, you were mentioning earlier how, you know, the investigative phase where you go collect clues is kind of boring and you just kind of click things until you find your evidence. And you aren't really risking anything. But with the Magatama, you gotta risk, you know, some kind of spiritual power, which is also somehow connected to how well you did in court that day.
Yeah, I know. That was something they fixed in Trials and Tribulations. At the every chapter segment, your health gets restored.
That's good.
So, court and investigative health are not related to each other. Which is very good. I never saw what happens if you lose in the Magatama phase, but I think that, as I understand it, once you lose all of your health, then some mysterious spirit comes and says, "Hey, Phoenix, stop being an idiot. You're about to get kicked in the spirit balls." And then I think you have one more chance, and then you get knocked out, and you wake up at the Pokemon Center with half of your money gone.
And then Gumshoe gets half your money, except then Von Karma takes it.
Yeah, she cuts his Phoenix salary.
Yes.
You're only allowed to receive this much money from Phoenix Wright.
Yes.
I don't even know how Gumshoe's salary works. His salary is cut so much that I don't know how he's even
alive. Hmm. Maybe he also got Manfred von Karma's PIN number during court.
That is the best fan theory of anything that I've ever heard.
See, Phoenix only takes, like, one case at a time, and he's only working for, like, a few days out of the month.
Well,
so
that's the thing. Lawyers have other jobs that they can do other than going to court and having clients.
Mm-hmm.
He could offer legal advice to somebody. Lawyers are notarized, so they are able to act as notaries. But I prefer to think that that one time where Von Karma yells his PIN number out in the middle of court, Phoenix is like, I should write that down. And then after he's convicted of the murder of Gregory Edgeworth, he goes to Von Karma's house where they're clearing out all the stuff, and Edgeworth's going through, like, his baby toys. There's a teddy bear that says Von Karma rocks on it. There's, like, an old photo of Gregory Edgeworth's face, but it's got, like, the beard and the mustache drawn on it.
Blacked-out teeth.
Yeah, the blacked-out teeth. It's like, I suck balls. Something written on there somewhere. I'm gay. That sort of thing.
Yes.
And, Phoenix is like, I'm really sorry about everything that's happened to you, Edgeworth, and he's like, right, it's okay. Because he has to say Phoenix's name in every sentence that he says to him.
And always just his last name.
Phoenix says, have you gone through Von Karma's room yet? And like, no, the police are still working the downstairs. I'm looking for this old ball that I used to have, and Phoenix is like, that's great, Edgeworth. I'm going to go help out with the investigation, see what I can find. And Edgeworth's like, you can't do that. He's already upstairs. He finds the ATM card. He's like, jackpot.
Yes.
I have money forever. Yay. Considering the amount of cases that Von Karma won, he probably has an infinite supply of money. And therefore, Phoenix has an infinite supply of money.
I can just see Phoenix doing his little cheesy, sheepish grin while he gets the money.
Oh, I love that grin. Because his teeth don't make any sense.
I know!
They look like shutters. It looks like he only has one row of teeth, but they reach all the way to the other row where it would be.
At least, you know, we don't see him having a completely whited out mouth like Maya.
That's because whenever Maya gets shocked, she drinks a glass of milk.
Yes. She's trying to do a milk out the nose take, but it always fails.
Fails because she keeps opening her mouth.
Yes.
That would be the worst shock phase, actually.
Yeah.
I could see them actually making a joke about that. Somebody's drinking milk during their testimony. They squirt milk out. It always ends up on Phoenix's face. And then it gets turned into some sort of horrible AMV.
Yes. So, like,
did I show you that, though? Did I show you the one AMV I found that was worth watching?
You may have.
It was like the Gurren Lagann Make a Man Out of You song.
Oh, yeah.
That one is fitting, I guess, but the thing that impresses me the most is that it's so well done. The person who did it actually knows how to make a video.
Yeah.
It's impressive. That's so rare.
Mm-hmm. Alright, so not exactly getting back to the things that Phoenix does and almost gets killed for, let's move on to game 3.
Oh, yeah. Because nothing bad happens to Phoenix in game 2. Game 2
except
is
getting
just
whipped
sort of
to near death.
It's really, for me, Game 2 is the low point of the series.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the moon logic is the moon logicest.
Oh, it was awful. I'm glad they fixed the level logic in the third game.
I'm trying to think, like, I don't remember some of the worst ones, but they were really bad in case 2-4.
Mm-hmm.
I don't... Case 2-2 wasn't so bad. Reunion and Turnabout, that one wasn't so bad.
Yeah, but, like, I don't, Farewell My Turnabout?
Farewell My Turnabout was, like, the worst one. Like,
yeah.
There was so much in that case that you had to guess and
yep.
assume. Everybody actually hates Turnabout Big Top, which...
Yeah.
Case is okay unless you're cross-examining Mo.
But, I mean, it's also kind of creepy, you know, all these guys are trying to propose to the 16-year-old girl. I know it was, like, Japan and stuff, and 16 is marriageable age for girls in Japan, but...
They couldn't have, like, aged her up. You only had to change one number, Capcom of America.
But, like, even so... Like, I mean, they're just a ton of characters that, you know, you just don't care that much about.
Well, that's sort of always the thing with the third case of the game. It's always sort of a filler case that doesn't really affect anything else. Although, I don't know. That wasn't really the case for Trials and Tribulations, because Don Tigre, what was his name? Furio Tigre?
Yeah.
He is so ridiculous that I can't help but enjoy battling him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't even seem like you should be cross-examining him. It seems like you should be having, like, a sword fight while he roars at you. And then you stagger and he stabs you in the face.
But it's
and then Edgeworth comes in and he saves you by swinging on a rope while wearing a pirate hat.
But,
I think,
like,
there needs to be a model.
It's interesting how, like, everyone manages to intimidate the judge. No one ever gets held in contempt of court. Except,
yeah,
you know, if it's
sort
plot
of...
convenient.
There's always a threat of being held in contempt of court, but it's never carried through. Just like there is no way in the Phoenix Wright universe to be convicted of perjury.
Yeah. And it's like, whenever the judge calls someone out on contempt of court, it's at the artwork, I mean the gallery? The background?
I love those little guys because their entire point in the series seems to be to just shake their heads back and forth and be a monochrome set of brown.
Mm-hmm.
That's that's something that they update in Apollo Justice. They don't have any other extra motions, but at least they're more colorful.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I like the courtroom better in the Phoenix Wright series, because it looks a lot more bright. In Apollo Justice, the courtroom is really dark and kind of depressing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that could just be, like, maybe Christoph Gavin came in, and it's like, this is just too bright. It reminds me of Phoenix Wright, my most hated enemy. And then he takes out a picture of Phoenix and just starts stabbing it. And everyone's like, Christoph, calm down. It's like, what? I'm a perfectly normal person who didn't get my fellow attorney convicted of forging evidence and got him disbarred. And everyone's like, what?
And then he just goes around and spray paints the court gloomy colors.
Yeah, he just runs around with a spray can, laughing maniacally to himself. His brother, Clavier, is just sitting there going, no, he just does this sometimes. You should see our basement. It's got, you can actually go to the Gavin basement, it's got a picture, it's got a spray-painted Phoenix and a spray-painted Mia, and it's got, like, Phoenix's face crossed out with daggers going into it and a bunch of hearts around Mia. That's what Christoph's problem really was.
So, like, okay, in this third game, going back before Apollo Justice, what kind of bad things happened to Phoenix in this game? Like, I mean, it goes back to when he was 21 and gets framed for another murder.
He eats a glass bottle that supposedly has trace amounts of a deadly poison in it, which is completely fine, and I'll be honest with you, the trace amounts of poison, that might not be a problem because it might have lost its potency over the years, but I'm pretty sure eating glass would result in really terrible problems for you. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think me and Jake looked up a story of a man who had eaten a jumbo jet, and I'm like, you know what? Actually consuming a jumbo jet over a period of days would probably not be that bad, but... shitting a jumbo jet. That I could see as being an issue.
Oh.
All of that metal shrapnel.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, God. My butthole. It's like Sonic the Hedgehog down there.
So, alright. So Phoenix gets convicted. He gets tried for another murder. He falls off of a 40-foot drop into a river from a bridge and just catches
an icy river that has currents that supposedly could completely cover up any body that might be the result of a murder, which is a really conspicuous detail.
Yeah.
Hey, I know, I like that everybody starts flinging that aspect of the Eagle River around. It's like, hey, if you ever need to commit a murder, we've got a perfect place to hide the body. But Phoenix gets, like, a head cold.
Yep.
That doesn't hinder him in any fashion at all.
Yep.
The only fashion that it hinders him in is that when you talk to Franziska the first time, he actually comments on her being cute. Which is a quality that is carried on to Edgeworth in Investigations.
But maybe the reason that Phoenix can survive all this stuff is because he walks everywhere. He's like 24 or something, and he doesn't have a driver's license. And
supposedly, like, if he needs to make a large distance travel, he goes by taxi.
Well, I guess after he got Von Karman's PIN number, he can do that.
Super money skills.
Yes.
He just pays the river not to drown him.
Yes!
I'll give you anything you want. He's Gillian Seed. He's like the guy from Snatcher. I'll throw money at everything, and eventually all of my problems will be solved. Take it! Take all of it, please! Whatever you do.
I have infinite money powers. Step aside!
Phoenix is actually the sole stimulant of the Los Angeles economy because he just goes around giving everybody money.
Yes.
There's like one taxi driver who lives in a mansion. But he still looks like a normal New York taxi driver, and that he's got like the newsboy cap. He's really fat, smells kind of bad. A really thick mustache. He's got a chandelier in the car. I don't think having a chandelier in your car points to you being poor, but I think that it's sort of a weird thing to have.
Well, maybe it's nice and fancy.
Maybe Edgeworth is the taxi driver.
Whoa!
Where do you want to go, right? I want to go to the detention center. No, we're going to the bar to play foosball.
No, right. It's not proper for the defense attorney to speak so freely to the prosecutor.
It's not so...
We can't
no,
be friends.
No, right. You have court tomorrow. You're not allowed to go to the bar. But I wanna... No, right. I get to go to the bar because I'm the prosecutor. My cases are done for me by the police. But your lead investigator is Gumshoe. Damn. But, I mean... The third game is my favorite. I like Bridge to the Turnabout more than I like to Turnabout Goodbyes, which is, like, my favorite case after that.
Yeah.
Mia's second case, what is it, like, Turnabout, oh my god, my client killed himself on the stand, and now I'm not going to be able to convict that girl who everyone thinks is prettier than me, even though my boobs are much bigger than hers.
Turnabout god, Beginnings?
Yeah, that one. That's a much shorter title.
And then, yeah, I mean, the sequence of these cases get pretty wonky, and I hear it gets worse with Apollo Justice, but, like, you're starting off, first game kind of plays through chronologically, second game plays through chronologically, third game you start off before the first game, then you go back to the future, then you go back to the past, then you go to the future again.
No, the second game plays out a little bit chronologically off, because, Turnabout, My Name is Spelled Weird, Turnabout Gumshoe has a crush on his subordinate.
Right.
Takes place like a month after reunion in Turnabout.
Yeah.
Also known as Turnabout. I'm my sister.
Mm-hmm.
I'm my own sister. Slightly less disturbing than being your own grandfather.
Yes.
But kind of weird. It doesn't get bad in Apollo Justice because. The first three cases take place in chronological order, and then the last case has you enter a computer simulation where you're able to jump back and forth between 7 years in the past and the present.
Mm-hmm.
No, the worst one is Ace Attorney Investigations because it goes the order chronologically would be the fourth case, which takes place like 7 years in the past from the third game, mm-hmm. so it would have been like a year before the case with Terry Falls.
Yeah.
And then there's the second case, the third case, the first case, and then the fifth case.
Sounds crazy. Sounds like that would be enough to destroy your sense of logic.
And then Edgeworth meets a ninja who reminds me of Ibuki from Street Fighter. I want your opinion on this, Internet. She doesn't think that it's a good idea, but do you think it would be a poor judgment of mine to change my Facebook picture to a picture of Ibuki and then write a status update asking everyone if they would introduce me to some cool boys?
Hee hee. Edgy, you cool boy!
That's who Sakura actually wanted to introduce her to. I know just the person. Why do you even know me?
Yes.
Being that Sakura only knows one boy, maybe Ryu is secretly Edgeworth.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why he became an itinerant warrior. Because there's
he's also an itinerant lawyer.
Well, there's a fan theory that Edgeworth is the reason that Phoenix is allowed to investigate after losing his attorney's badge.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to think that after Phoenix loses his attorney's badge and Edgeworth loses his eternal rival, that he just doesn't know what to do with himself. So maybe he dyed his hair brown, took up Shotokan is what Ryu's official fighting his martial art is called, and then went on an itinerant journey to meet stereotypes from other nations and beat the crap out of them.
Yes. That is the one way you can beat stereotypes.
That by bludgeoning them unconscious with
yes.
fireballs shot from your hands. And that's how Phoenix Wright exists in the same universe as Street Fighter.
Yep.
Okay, I think that's a pretty good description of that was a terrible description of the first three games in the Ace Attorney series, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too.
If anybody is interested, I think what we're going to do, we'll take a little bit of break, and then maybe before dinner we can play some Apollo Justice if you'd like to get into it.
Sounds good.
All right, let's get that on.
Sync point.
Yeah, we do need to do the sync point, and as we're doing this as we're talking about Ace Attorney, it is only appropriate that we do it this way. We'll do it on the count of three, okay?
All right.
One, two, three.
Objection!
That was awful.
Want to do it again?
No. I think I can get it. Why did you do the pain objection?
I thought it would be funny.
Did you actually point when you said it?
No. I pretend my hair was gone.